Chiné Angola Jr., the podcast.
It no is Chiné Angola Jr. No apologies. What am I talking about? We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golick Jr., Chiné Agbumike. Chiné, we did it. I think we made it. I think we got on air in time. I think somehow this is all going to be all right.
I am so excited for this moment because there was so much anticipation. But yes, we did it. We can pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
Give ourselves like a virtual, you know, fist knuckle.
Right there.
Yeah, pound it.
Right through the Zoom meeting. We say we're like everybody else. We're operating on Zoom meetings. Everyone's worked hard to get here. Appreciate everyone's work today. Obviously, whole new ESPN radio lineup that we're a part of today, and super fortunate every Monday through Friday now from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And Chiné, this is a huge cry from where we have come from, right? Like, we're getting ready now. We're on. There are NBA playoff games going on live right now.
Yes.
That we're going to get to. Justin Fields was out and speaking this morning on his petition and his desire to play. We've got a new president for the Washington football team right now that will be joining us later on, Jason Wright, in all of this. But we get to do all this at a normal human time of day right now after really getting our start, because for anyone that doesn't know the two of us, you are obviously a current WNBA player, not inside the WUBBL this year with the LA Sparks. I'm a former Notre Dame football player. You guys obviously heard me as a part of the old morning show with Golick and Wingo. And Chiné, you and I first met at the crack of dawn. Like,
we
this
did.
Is a long, far cry from where we've been.
You must really love someone to wake up at 3 in Connecticut, where we know in Connecticut there are not many like streetlights, and drive in the pitch dark of morning. And that's where we first started our little love affair, work love affair, where I used to join you on Woman Crush Wednesdays, first and last. But shout out to you, though. Like, you finally get a normal sleep cycle. You used to do the 4 to 6 a.m. Then you'd also double that up with 6 to 10, Golick and Wingo. So I'm glad you get to sleep in.
It's been a nice lifestyle change. I'm not even going to lie to everybody here. Like, I wake up and I have no idea what to do with all this energy. And, you know, like, going into this show, everyone's talking about, you know, we're the young ones in the lineup.
Like, we are.
Both of us are peers age-wise here. I think we've got to be by far the youngest people on ESPN Radio. No disrespect to our colleagues who we all love, and we are going to follow the vets in this one. But, Chiné, I was getting so hyped for the show this morning. I get up. I'm like, I'm going to run. I'm going to get ready and do all this stuff. And then I got in the shower. And for anyone, people watching on ESPN News might be able to see this giant knot on the side of my head.
Can I
see? I'm getting hyped in the shower. I'm like leaning into it a little bit right now. And right in here, I get ready and I'm going down and I'm trying to wash my legs. And I, a 30-year-old, like, should not be this washed, slip and bust my head on the back corner of, like, the shelf on my shower. And so I had to sit there starting off my day realizing I'm already super washed going into this.
First things first, I'm glad you wash your legs. You know, when it's men,
yeah.
I feel like sometimes that can be an oversight. Are you a loofah or a wash rag person? Did you, like...
I'm a wash rag person, and I came to that late in life. Like, I don't want to make this thing, but like, I think like for some reason white people miss out on the washcloth for a long time. Like, it took a lot of years of me in a locker room to fully grasp the concept.
It might be cultural, but that's the beauty of locker rooms. That's the beauty of sports. We have different backgrounds, different perspectives, and I think everyone's starting to realize this. If people look at us walking down the street, we could not look probably more different, right? But this is what we love between you and I. We have a lot of similar mindsets. Being from locker rooms, you football, myself basketball, we come from loud, boisterous families where we have some like really cool achievers. Your father, obviously, in the Radio Hall of Fame. My sister doing work in the bubble, WNBA champion and MVP. So, yeah, it's sort of like we're stepping into our own shoes. But you mentioned one word, energy.
Mm.
And energy is going to be a key component because that's the whole goal. We're going to keep you energized on the drive home. But most importantly, we're going to like make sure you keep that same energy. So later on in the show, we're going to highlight people doing things that are energetic and that we love to see. And, of course, we're going to step into the locker room. We mentioned a couple of great guests. Of course, I had to bring my ballers in. So J.J. Redick will be joining us, obviously, of the Pelicans. And Danny Green of the Lakers will be joining us today. So should we get it started? Before we get started, should we tell people how we met? Besides, like, work.
Oh, you want to tell that story right now? First off, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small business with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. It's Mike Golick Jr. It's Chiné Agbumike. It's Chiné Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And, yeah, why don't you let people know how we met? I feel like they deserve that story. It wasn't just, like, the crack of dawn at ESPN Radio.
It wasn't. I think we were just seeing each other in the halls, and then we started realizing that, well, I realized that you're, like, the number one Cardi B fan. I was like, wait, we got people in these streets that love Cardi B? And so we started talking it up, and then we went with my friend Kayla Johnson, one of the social producers. We went to the movies, which was cool. And I was like, well, I got friends out here in Connecticut. My team at the time, the Connecticut Sun, they were all overseas playing. So I was by myself in Connecticut working this NBA grind, WNBA grind, women's college basketball grind. And so when you're like here bopping to like Cardi B, I was like, oh, who this? Like, it totally caught me off guard. And then, do you even remember the movie we went to? I don't remember.
I would say I don't either, which is the sad part here, but it shows you just how much great time we spent together since. We got so many other memories to stack on top of that.
And to make,
and that's the clever way that I cover up for the fact that I definitely do not remember that movie that we went and saw right now. And so we're going to keep trying to build on that. Like you said, great list of guests today. In addition to the ones you mentioned there, we got Mina Kimes joining us as well. We got Jason Wright, as we mentioned, Washington football team's new team president. But we also got stuff going on in the NBA right now, Chiné. Donovan Mitchell hit 2 free throws to send the Jazz Nuggets game into overtime. So the NBA playoffs are wasting absolutely no time in getting going. And thankfully, you as one of our fine ESPN NBA analysts are going to be here to help us break it down as we go along in all this one. So no surprise there, Spider Mitchell already making an impact.
I'm not surprised. I mean, he's one of the players that, especially when the season started, everyone was saying, especially coming off of that USA basketball minicamp, like, whoa, he looks different. We already know his athleticism is off the charts, but his skill level, when he's playing on a floor in real time and you see him, you're like, his athleticism sort of separates itself from the rest, and now so is his skill. So this is a huge first win. Can you believe we already have playoffs and played right now? Like 4 p.m. on the East Coast.
It is such an unbelievable relief for a year where obviously so much has been different, so much has gone wrong, and what the NBA, the WNBA, the NHL, all these leagues have done.
The MLS.
Coming back, the MLS, PLL, MLL, bubbling up to try and make something happen for all of us right now. But we know, like, the NBA, the WNBA, basketball is really the crown jewel for a lot of people right now. And so there's a lot to dive into with that. And I know we talked about Donovan Mitchell. That game still going on right now. Denver and Utah in overtime currently. But coming up next, I want to ask you a question about one team in particular. I want to head out to Los Angeles because we all saw what Dame did this weekend. And I want to see if in the process of actually winning the first play-in game we've seen, if Dame time changed any mind. That's all coming up next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm going to keep my composure here right now. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Chiné, I don't know, like, on your pregame track list, like, that C Murder song that we just played, Down for My, is like one of my number one all-time locker room hype tracks of all time. Like a must-have on the list. I don't know if you had a must-have, but that was one that could get the locker room party started anytime.
How about this? Cliff knows what my must-have is. So next break when we come back in, I don't know, we'll have a guess, but hopefully we'll play my favorite pregame track later on.
Ooh.
And I hope everyone has like 2 hands on the wheel.
Yes.
Because you be swerving.
Drive with
both.
Well, and like speaking of swerving, so again, you mentioned we're going to have JJ Redick coming up here in just a little bit. Super excited to talk to him. But you and I just made the same stank face at the same time during the last break because we have got NBA playoff basketball going on right now. It is absolutely wild. I want to get into some stuff with the Lakers and the Blazers matchup coming up here, but we just look right now. So we've got the Jazz and the Nuggets in overtime right now. Denver's up 9 with about 23 seconds left, so it looks like this game is about to get towards the finish here, and that one might be in the bag. We got the NBA quadruple header here on ESPN. So Brooklyn and Toronto just tipped off on ESPN. Philadelphia and Boston coming up at 6:30 Eastern, and then Dallas and the Clippers at 9 Eastern tonight. But both of us looked down and went, Donovan Mitchell had how many points right now? Is he
51.
Currently sits? Well, I think 54 is where he's at right now. So a 50-burger in the first playoff game for Donovan Mitchell. Good Lord.
I am not surprised. I think the thing is, the beautiful aspect of all of this is every dude is trying to one-up the other dude. And Damian, it started with T.J. Warren. T.J. Warren started playing, then Damian Lillard started getting momentum, then Devin Booker's out here undefeated, and now Donovan Mitchell. It's the next generation of NBA stars that's been really fun to watch so far.
It has, and these dudes have all been taking their cues, because let's be real, he's the NBA Bubbles MVP right now. We saw what time it was over the weekend in the play-in game that we remember. We talked about this last week when we were filling in on First Take Your Take. Needs to stick around. It was Dame time yet again in all this. Now, it might have actually been McCollum time for a lot of that, but the Trailblazers, Chiné, I'm wondering, like, the Trailblazers, did they change any minds this weekend? Because I was pretty confident in a lot of things about their first-round matchup with the Lakers. I might not be as sure anymore after what we saw.
Lakers are still the favorite. But if I'm a Laker, and I know we'll have Danny Green later on, I'm a little worried. Just because at the eight position, you don't expect a team like this that's playing their best basketball at this point, even though they have a couple dings. But when you think about the Trailblazers, this is what I've noted. You got to worry about Damian Lillard, because Damian Lillard, bubble MVP, averaged 37 points per game in the bubble, 10 assists in the bubble, four rebounds. We can work on that. 50% from the field, 44% from three. And obviously he was a unanimous selection as bubble MVP. That's 22 members of the media. Now, get this nugget. You know, I usually am an NBA analyst, and so I love going and finding the tiny nuggets. And Kirk Goldsberry put out there, from at least 30 feet this season, Dame is shooting 42%.
Oh.
So to put that in context, the NBA's three-point line is 23 feet. 7 feet beyond that, Dame is shooting 42%. So it's like literally logo Lillard, but the logo now is half court, pretty much. Now, Damian Lillard, I'd be a little nervous if I'm the Lakers. CJ McCollum, I'd be a little nervous too. Even though he's playing with a fracture in his back, the most important game versus the Grizzlies, 14 points of his 29 in the fourth quarter. He was going off. You saw him put, like, he was in the blender. Between the legs, step back. He's very shifty, very streaky. And once he sees one go in, especially in the fourth, Dame is great. It's like, go off, bro. Can we respect the I'm a post. I'm a post player. I'm a forward.
This is certainly, like, people are going to realize, like, my background as a former offensive lineman. We're going to give big boys love on this one. But this is also, regardless of what the modern NBA says, a post-friendly show.
Thank you. Big boys, big girls need love, too. Literally. Yusuf Nurkic. Hey, you too. Let's talk about this on the show. I think our parents are both excited that now we have a platform to, like, show our best qualities. So hopefully it attracts the right people. Your girl might be, you know, a little...
I was gonna say, this is the undercurrent here right now, is like, we're going to be, and my mom's gonna be hitting you up to try and find me a date out here. We got to talk about some new things that are bubbling up for you right now, because I feel like we can really work this the right way for everybody involved, if you know what I'm saying.
We have options. We're good. Your girl's good. But hey, let's talk about the big players. Yusuf Nurkic. I mean, he should have been on one of the all bubble teams, just because he had 22 points and 21 rebounds in that elimination game. He was playing after hearing the news of his grandmother passing, and so he played inspired basketball. And Carmelo Anthony, so many people, when you think about, you know, his trajectory and his career, a lot of people have a lot to say about Carmelo Anthony, but you have to respect the fact that he, like, literally fought to get back in the league. He went dark, like, dark, and then comes back to a team that actually values him. And I actually put it out on Twitter, at Chene321, at Mike Golick Jr., and it got some decent traction. We can learn a lot from Carmelo Anthony. Stay ready. Keep grinding, know your value, find your tribe, understand your role, and never give up. So holistically, the Portland Trailblazers are a veteran team with a lot of young stars emerging into superstars, Damian Lillard, even CJ McCollum, and they just fight at the eighth spot, and you're the number one. It's like, dang. But I have a feeling you probably will even think that it's going to still be like four or five Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, so it's Chene and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chene Agwumike with you guys. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise right now. By the way, that last game went final. The Denver Nuggets got the win over the Utah Jazz, 132-125 in overtime right now. Nets and Raptors are going off. 76ers and Celtics again at 6:30 on ESPN. Dallas and Clippers begins at 8:30 on ESPN Radio in that one. And yeah, Chene, I'm glad you brought this up. So you and I got the chance to fill in last week. We were talking about the Lakers. And I said, I feel like we're all getting lulled into that false sense of security that tends to happen when a team comes into the bubble in their situation. Well, I say tends to happen like it's happened before. The first time we've ever had a bubble in the middle of a pandemic. But you know what I'm saying? They came into the bubble and we knew the Lakers, really, it was going to take an act of God for them to fall from the one seed on that one. There wasn't a ton for them to play for in the remaining regular season games. And so we figured it was going to be a lot of tinkering. But listen, efficiency-wise, a lot of numbers you can pull. The Lakers were one of the worst teams in the bubble that we saw through a lot of this. That being said, I'm still looking at Lakers in five in a lot of this, because that renewed effort from Damian Lillard and company, CJ McCollum down the stretch giving Ja Morant buckets in the fourth quarter, still, to me, it's hard to get over that idea that LeBron James, who's built his entire career on crescendoing and peaking when he gets to the postseason, isn't going to have this team ready for a first-round matchup. And I know for them, too, the Lakers are getting some help back right now. Like, there is a couple of things in the balance for them that are probably going to help push them over the limit.
Yeah, I agree. I think when it comes to the Trailblazers, fatigue could definitely be a factor just because they're top players. Normally in an NBA season, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard like literally run the most miles out of any player in the league, both of them combined. So they've been playing a lot. We've seen Dame play 42 minutes, and then the only time he blinks and starts like putting his hands on his knees is like after the game is done and his work is done. And so the Lakers, where they have the ability to rest their stars, you know, have more of a minutes restriction throughout the bubble, it might work to their advantage, because when you look at the bubble and how they played, it's obviously not optimal. They're still trying to find their groove and find their shot. But what they're going to get in Rajon Rondo coming into the bubble is going to be a real boost. A guy that has not been there. He just cleared quarantine. And a lot of people, here's like a secret nugget that's going to be really cool going forward. Rondo was a key part of that Pelicans team that swept the Blazers in the first round of the playoffs. That's where we got the name Playoff Rondo, right? And in that series, he averaged 11 points, 13 assists, and 7.5 rebounds. So this is a guy, Rondo, that even though he may not play in the beginning, likely he has a lot of tips and tricks to sort of do what he's done before to beat the Blazers. And if you think about that matchup where he can come in 20 minutes and sort of distribute the offense instead of LeBron James, which has been a huge question for them throughout the course of the season, and then go up against Dame and sort of have that championship tactical mind that we saw in Boston, this is a real boost. And I think his leadership will come through, you know, at the point guard position, especially due to this matchup.
And I think that's one of the biggest things in all of this is leadership, the ability to command the offense, the ability to lead when LeBron James isn't on the court, because we've seen at times that's always going to be the struggle for a team, especially this year, that's been as reliant on his passing at 35, leading the league in assists this season, assists per game. Being able to replace that guy with quality minutes when he's off the court, going to be a big difference as we look to that one right now.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I know we're excited to talk to JJ because obviously he works with, plays with, alongside one of the NBA's brightest young stars. And we saw the news over the weekend, which actually, when we were talking to Bobby Marks last week, we
subtly dropped it.
We got the inkling that he might have been thinking that Alvin Gentry might not have been long for the Pelicans world. They made that news official over the weekend, letting him go on that one. And so we believe we've got JJ back now with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. JJ, you good?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We hear you crystal clear. Thank you so much. JJ,
I just had to move around. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. No stress at all. I know, like, I blame myself because I hit up JJ and I was like, hey, you know, 1:30. It was 1:30 Pacific. And so he was super nice to sort of, you know, go through those time zone issues. But JJ, it made headlines when you told Zion, hey, I have a playoff streak, 13 straight years. But all good things sort of come to an end. Do you consider this season a success for the Pelicans?
I do, and I'll tell you why. I think Zion got enough game experience. We all saw what his greatness can look like. He had some unbelievable stretches when he came back in mid-January up until when the season first shut down in March. And then we saw incredible growth from Brandon Ingram. And we saw incredible growth from Lonzo. The player Lonzo was from mid-December through mid-March for 3 months. He was like 14.5 a game, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 42% from 3, multiple steals a game. He's a high deflection guy. He showed, I think, this year what he can do. Brandon obviously was an all-star and is up for most improved player. Zion up for rookie of the year. And I think you can build around those three guys, and they all prove that you can build around them.
And JJ, I'm curious, you came over here, when everyone saw you were signing in New Orleans, we thought, all right, you've got a veteran, you've got the elder statesman on that team, and I'm curious, what were your conversations like with such a young team going into this season, trying to help them understand what was ahead?
Sure, I mean, you have conversations before the season, you have conversations during the season. You know, as someone who's been in 14 different locker rooms now, I've figured out that each individual guy requires individual attention. And so I try to build relationships with all my teammates. And, you know, with Zion, I think there was a level of frustration early on because he was hurt and he was doing his rehab on his own and he wasn't traveling with us. And as someone who's been hurt and has experienced that, that can be frustrating. I think we really brought him in once he started playing. you know, with Zoe and B.I., those guys are just workers. They're in the gym every day. They get shots up. They're actually inseparable. It's very odd, but they're inseparable. They actually only talk to each other when we're in the meal room. They only eat together. They kind of just ignore everybody else. No, I'm just kidding.
Listen to you, but, JJ?
They at least listen to me. They at least listen to me. We have a bright future ahead. You know, I should also mention Josh Hart, who also came over in the Lakers trade, who is a phenomenal wing defender and rebounder, and just your prototypical 3-and-D guy. Him and I have become very tight and very close friends. We share an affinity for wine, for good French wine. And so we really bonded a lot in the bubble because there was no one else to really hang out with.
JJ, you can help me expand my palate on wine, because the first time I saw white wine, I called it yellow wine and everyone laughed at me. So shaming myself. But switching from players, where you are the ultimate teammate, switching from players to coach, obviously there is news regarding your now former coach, Alvin Gentry. How did you find out the news?
Well, look, I knew that there was a chance that he was going to be let go. And I think those conversations at the highest level between the front office and ownership were probably happening earlier in the season. I mean, we got off to a horrible start. I think it's a credit really to the guys we have on our team that we stayed the course. You know, there was no finger pointing. We all enjoyed playing for Alvin. We love Alvin. He's one of the best guys in the NBA world. I'll just say that. He's one of the best guys. I played for him in L.A. I found out, like everybody else, Twitter, you know, Woj bomb. You know, I did know that there was a chance it could happen, but I wasn't sure on timing. But I found out, like the rest of the world, Woj has everything before anybody else.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Here was J.J. Redick of the New Orleans Pelicans on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, J.J., what was your experience working one-on-one with Coach Gentry?
Oh, I mean, Alvin is great. I mean, look, we go back to my first season with the Clippers when he was an associate head coach. You know, I'll give you one story. So we get off to a little bit of a slow start. We were like 1-6, 1-7, something like that. And we have a back-to-back. Friday night, we play at home against Toronto. I played like 20 minutes. I took one shot. We go to Charlotte the next day. And we don't do shoot around. We just meet for breakfast in the morning at about 11 o'clock. And we're going through film. All of a sudden, Alvin stops the film. And he's like, I'm not going to cuss on the show. But he's like, look. We need to get this mother for shots. And he points at me. So I was like, okay, all right. You're going to put a little pressure on me. Okay, I like it. And I hit 7 threes that night, and pretty much for the rest of the season, I was in the zone. So he was always good to me. He ran stuff for me. He treated me like a vet. He treated me with respect. It was, you know, definitely reciprocated. He's a guy that I just, you know, I love and have a ton of respect for.
Talking to J.J. Redick here. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike here with you guys. So, J.J., looking forward now from a coaching standpoint and from a leadership standpoint, what do you think this team needs going forward to maximize potential going into next season, knowing all that young talent on the roster like you just mentioned?
Yeah, sure. You know, one of the things that I said to Chris and Chris Finch and Alvin in my exit interview. And again, I didn't know that they, you know, were going to be let go or anything like that. But one of the things with leadership is you don't want the same guy talking over and over, because eventually people tune out that voice. And I've been cognizant of that since I've become a vet, because I can remember having vets who talked all the time, and eventually you tune them out. So you need multiple voices in the locker room. And look, we have a quiet team. So I think for me, you know, getting a couple more vets that are going to talk and speak, so it's not me necessarily all the time, would be helpful. You know, I'd love to see us, you know, get, I think everybody knows this, we need to get guys that complement Zion, you know, and so we need probably even more shooting. You know, every team needs more shooting. So, and those are things that, you know, Griff knows and that Griff will address. But, yeah, I mean, I have no say in terms of who's coaching or not coaching. That's a Griff decision. But, you know, we definitely need a couple more voices to help, you know, me and Drew.
Really quick, before we let you go, JJ, what was your favorite part about the bubble experience, getting to know your team that's quiet in the bubble?
Yeah, no, you know what was my favorite part? Two things that I really enjoyed. By the end of it, you know, you had developed relationships and had dinners and a little, you know, wine drinking with guys that you didn't necessarily know before. And so, you know, we had this amazing dinner my last night there with some of the Pacers guys and Russell Westbrook. And Russ was just awesome. And you saw a side of him that I didn't really know. And one night after a game, when we were just doing the scrimmages, Mello and I shared some wine with a few guys in the players' lounge and were telling high school stories. So that was fun. And then the other part of it was you just got to play basketball. And we missed it so much. I know I missed it so much. I missed being around my team. I missed the competition. I missed that feeling you get before the game when you go out for warm-ups or that, you know, that you walk out to the jump circle. Like, I missed that feeling of competing and playing basketball and doing something that I love. And that was, look, for all of us, we got a little comfortable because it became normal and it became safe. It felt like in some ways, you know, we were back to just playing normal basketball.
It was a beautiful thing to watch. It was a beautiful thing for your team, seeing the reps that you guys got in that bubble. I personally enjoyed watching you shotgun beers in a kiddie pool. JJ, we appreciate the time, man. We're looking forward to
next season. It was crazy. I forgot that I did that. That seems so long ago.
Bubble years are like dog years. JJ, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, JJ.
Thank y'all. All right. Be well.
Again, you can check out the Old Man and the Three podcast wherever you get your podcast. Coming up next, how realistic are the Big Ten players' chances of actually replaying and refreshing and somehow changing a decision? We'll get to that next. It's Shanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Okay, you're showing out, Cliff. You're really showing out, Cliff.
He is, man. Cliff's in his bag today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can tweet us at Mike Golic Jr., at Shanae321. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our thanks to New Orleans Pelicans' own J.J. Redick for being the first guest in show history.
Yeah.
There we go. We got one in the books right now. That was awesome stuff. Reminder, we got the NBA quadruple header. Toronto and Brooklyn are currently on ESPN for you guys right now. Toronto up a 20-piece at this point here.
That is a
strong
system team, a grassroots organization that really, like, prioritizes development. And so it doesn't matter who's out there. You plug them in and you play.
Plug and play. Masai Ujiri has built a juggernaut there with the guys that they have brought in. Even losing Kawhi and still being in the position they are now, it is incredible. So plenty more on that coming up in the NBA. We will talk to plenty of more experts there. But we had big news really this weekend, but going into today. Justin Fields, Ohio State star quarterback, started an online petition trying to convince the Big Ten to reverse their decision to stop play. We know the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were the two Power 5 conferences that made that call in the last couple of weeks here. Now, Justin Fields joined KJ&Z this morning on ESPN Radio to talk about everything that's going on and really, first and foremost, what his message was to the Big Ten. Here was Justin Fields.
My biggest message to them would just really just to get them to realize how bad our players want to play, and just the guys that, you know, the guys that have come back for their fifth year, sixth year, come back off of injury. I think that we owe it to those guys the most. You know, I've just seen behind the scenes and all the work that they've put in and how much they really care about it. And I also believe all the coaches and all the parents, players want us to play, and they all feel safe with the guidelines Ohio State has set. So I just think that's the biggest message I'd like to get out to them.
And today we've seen the parents have got involved in this at a bunch of schools across the Big Ten voicing their concerns, along with this petition that last I saw had something like 200,000 signatures. So
No.
Ooh.
250,000 signatures. 250,000.
So with 250,000 strong, do you think any of this ultimately ends up swaying Big Ten leadership?
I think what those signatures sort of mean is that's the public sentiment, the public support. And I think every athlete wants to play. That's what we are wired to do. And even sometimes we want to play despite the odds. But the odds here are just unprecedented. Justin Fields made a really valid argument to me. On campus, getting tested twice a week and setting up a bubble-like environment, or at least a protected environment for those that are going to play, that is probably safer than moving around in the, you know, a busy world with no protocols, no testing. So that makes sense. But I think here's the problem here. The NCAA and some conferences distinguish these players, and you've sort of called me out on this, primarily as student athletes, right? Where the word student purposefully comes first. Because in a pandemic, they're treating them all the same because student comes first. And when you're dealing with all students, it invokes liabilities, which is all about safety on campus, and that is blanketed. But we all know in reality, are these student athletes treated just as students first? Not necessarily.
No, and the student portion is even going to be a more difficult prospect for a lot of these conferences going forward. According to the Daily Tar Heel, their student paper, 1 week after their start of their semester, UNC Chapel Hill is announcing it's transitioning all undergrad classes to online only effective Wednesday. So the schools, wow, like much of surrounding society, already spitting the bit in those communities. So we'll get to plenty more of that next with our next guest, Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, going to join us to break down that and more here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.